How do you weather the storms of life? Have you been through a storm? It could be a literal storm, like going through a tornado, or living through a hurricane, or going through a devastating wildfire that has burned down many, many homes and left many people homeless. Whether it's a literal storm, or an emotional storm, or a storm in the circumstances, there are some keys and principles for how to weather the storms of life. Listen in and find out more. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is July 9th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Numbers 21, 1 to 17. The Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that the Israelites were approaching on the road through Atharim. So he attacked the Israelites and took some of them as prisoners. Then the people of Israel made this vow to the Lord: "If you will hand these people over to us, we will completely destroy all their towns." The Lord heard the Israelites' request and gave them victory over the Canaanites. The Israelites completely destroyed them and their towns, and the place has been called Hormah ever since. Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna." So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it." So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. The Israelites traveled next to Oboth and camped there. Then they went on to Ai Abarim in the wilderness on the eastern border of Moab. From there, they traveled to the valley of Zered Brook and set up camp. Then they moved out and camped on the far side of the Arnon River in the wilderness adjacent to the territory of the Amorites. The Arnon is the boundary line between the Moabites and the Amorites. For this reason, the Book of the Wars of the Lord speaks of the town of Waheb in the area of Sufa and the ravines of the Arnon River, and the ravines that extend as far as the settlement of Ar on the border of Moab. From there the Israelites traveled to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Assemble the people, and I will give them water." There the Israelites sang this song, "Spring up, O well, yes, sing its praises." First Chronicles 7, 1 to 8, 40. The four sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Tola were Uzi, Raphai, Jeriel, Jamai, Ibsam, and Shemuel. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. At the time of King David, the total number of men available for military service from these families was 22,600. The son of Uzai was Izrahiah. The sons of Izrahiah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishiah. These five became the leaders of clans. The total number of men available for military service among their descendants was 36,000, for all five of them had many wives and many sons. The total number of men available for military service from all the clans of the tribe of Issachar was 87,000. All of them were listed in their tribal genealogy. Three of Benjamin's sons were Bela, Beker, and Jediel. The sons of Bela were Esbon, Uzi, Uziel, Jeremoth, and Iri. These five warriors were the leaders of clans. The total number of men available for military service among their descendants was 22,034. All of them were listed in their family genealogy. The sons of Beaker were Zemira, Joash, Eleazar, Elonai, Omri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Alameth. According to their family genealogy, there were 20,200 men available for military service among their descendants, in addition to their clan leaders. The son of Jediel was Bilhan. The sons of Bilhan were Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Kanana, Zethan, Tarshish, and Ahashahar. They were the leaders of the clans of Jediel, and their descendants included 17,200 men available for military service. The sons of Ur were Shupim and Hupim. Hushim was the son of Aher. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shelem. They were all descendants of Jacob's wife, Bilhah. The sons of Manasseh, born to his Aramean concubine, were Asriel and Maker. Maker was the father of Gilead. Maker found wives for Hupim and Shupim. Maker's sister was named Makah. One of his descendants was Zelophehad, who had only daughters. Maker's wife, Makah, gave birth to a son whom she named Peresh. His brother's name was Sheresh. The sons of Peresh were Ulam and Rakem. The sons of Ulam was Bedan. All these were considered Gileadites, descendants of Maker, sons of Manasseh. Maker's sister, Hamoleketh, gave birth to Ishdod, Abiezer, and Mala. The sons of Shemidah were Ahian, Shechem, Lachi, and Aniam. The descendants of Ephraim were Shutelah, Bered, Tehath, Elidah, Tahath, Zabad, and Shuthelah. Ephraim's sons Ezer and Eliad were killed trying to steal livestock from the local farmers near Gath. Their father Ephraim mourned for them a long time, and his relatives came to comfort him. Afterward, Ephraim slept with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Ephraim named him Beriah because of the tragedy his family had suffered. Ephraim had a daughter named Shira. She built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth Horon and Uzen Shira. Ephraim's line of descent was Repha, Resheph, Tila, Tehane, Laden, Amihud, Elishama, Nun, and Joshua. The descendants of Ephraim lived in the territory that included Bethel and its surrounding towns to the south, Naran to the east, Gezer and its villages to the west, and Shechem and its surrounding villages to the north as far as Aya and its towns. Along the border of Manasseh were the towns of Bethshan, Tanakh, Megiddo, Dor, and their surrounding villages. The descendants of Joseph, son of Israel, lived in these towns. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. They had a sister named Sarah. The sons of Beriah were Heber and Malkiel. The sons of Heber were Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham. They had a sister named Shua. The sons of Japhlet were Pesach, Bimhal, and Ashvath. The sons of Shomer were Ahi, Roga, Uba, and Aram. The sons of his brother Helam were Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Amal. The sons of Zophah were Sua, Harnifer, Shual, Beri, Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shama, Shilsha, Ithran, and Bera. The sons of Jether were Jephunah, Pispah, and Arah. The sons of Ula were Arah, Aniel, and Riziah. Each of these descendants of Asher was the head of an ancestral clan. They were all skilled warriors and prominent leaders. There were 26,000 men available for military service among the descendants listed in their tribal genealogy. The sons of Benjamin, in order of age, included Bela, the oldest, Ashbel, Ahara, Noha, and Rapha. The sons of Bela were Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Shefufan, and Huram. The sons of Ehud, leaders of the clans living at Geba, were driven out and moved to Manahath. Ehud's sons were Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. Gera, the father of Uzzah and Ahihud, led them when they moved. After Shaharaim divorced his wives Hushim and Bara, he had children in the land of Moab. Hodesh, his new wife, gave birth to Jobab, Zabiah, Misha, Malcolm, Jeuz, Sakia, and Mirma. These sons all became the leaders of clans. Shaharaim's wife Hushim had already given birth to Abitub and Elpal. The sons of Elpal were Eber, Misham, Shemed, who built Ono and Lod and their villages, Beriah and Shema. They were the leaders of the clans living in Ajalon, and they drove out the inhabitants of Gath. Ahio, Shashak, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpa, and Joha were the sons of Beriah. Zebediah, Meshulam, Hizki, Heber, Ishmerai, Isliah, and Jobab were the sons of Elpal. Jachim, Zikri, Zabdi, Elanai, Zilithai, Eliel, Adiah, Beriah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shimei. Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Anthothijah, Ivdiah, and Penuel were the sons of Shashak. Shamsherai, Shahariah, Athaliah, Jerishiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jeroham. These were the leaders of the ancestral clans, and they were listed in their tribal genealogy. They all lived in Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, lived in Gibeon. His wife's name was Maacah, and his oldest son was named Abdon. Jael's other sons were Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth, who was the father of Shemim. All these families lived near each other in Jerusalem. Ner was the father of Kish. Kish was the father of Saul. Saul was the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan was the father of Meribbaal. Meribbaal was the father of Micah. Micah was the father of Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Jada. Jada was the father of Alemeth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri was the father of Moza. Moza was the father of Benaiah. Benaiah was the father of Rephaiah. Rephaiah was the father of Elisa. Elisa was the father of Azel. Azel had six sons: Azricam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Shariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Azel's brother Eshek had three sons: Ulam the oldest, Jeush the second, and Eliphelet the third. The sons of Ulam were all skilled warriors and expert archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. All these were descendants of Benjamin. Acts 27:1-20. When the time came, we, Luke, Paul, and his companions, set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of an army officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. And Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a boat whose home port was Adramyttium. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province of Asia. The next day, when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course, so we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. We passed along the coast of the provinces of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There the officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, and he put us on board. We had several days of rough sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus. But the wind was against us, so we sailed down to the leeward side of Crete, past the Cape of Salmon. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty and finally arrived at Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for long voyages by then because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Sirs, he said, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, and danger to our lives. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fairhaven's was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed along close to shore. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, a northeaster they called it, caught the ship and blew it out to sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed behind a small island named Kauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat that was being towed behind us. Then we banded the ship with ropes to strengthen the hull. The sailors were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor and were thus driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even threw out the ship's equipment and anything else they could lay their hands on. The terrible storm raged, unabated, for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last, all hope was gone. Psalm 7, 1-17. I come to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from my persecutors. Rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tearing me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done wrong or am guilty of injustice, if I have betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies capture me. Let them trample me into the ground. Let my honor be left in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in anger. Stand up against the fury of my enemies. Wake up, my God, and bring justice. Gather the nations before you. Sit on your throne high above them. The Lord passes judgment on the nations. Declare me righteous, O Lord, for I am innocent, O Most High. End the wickedness of the ungodly, but help all those who obey you. For you look deep within the mind and heart, O righteous God. God is my shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right. God is a judge who is perfectly fair. He is angry with the wicked every day. If a person does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He will prepare his deadly weapons and ignite his flaming arrows. The wicked conceive evil. They are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. They dig a pit to trap others and then fall into it themselves. They make trouble, but it backfires on them. They plan violence for others, but it falls on their own head. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Proverbs 18:22. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Acts 27. And if I had to put a title on this, it would be Weathering the Storms of Life. To give you the backdrop, as Paul set sail on a boat with Luke and some others, the reason why he's going on this journey is because in the previous chapter, Acts 26, he has gone before Agrippa, and he's been falsely accused about some things, and the Jews are coming against him, and so he appeals to Caesar. And so after he gives his defense in front of Agrippa, he speaks what happened about his how he got saved and how the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus and all of that. Then Agrippa listens to him, and then he basically says, at the end, he talked it over and he agrees, this man has done nothing to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa says to Festus, he could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So now, because he has appealed to Caesar, because Paul is a Roman citizen, they're getting ready to set sail for Italy, and they leave from Sidon and they begin their journey, and a big storm whips up. And Paul warns the captain as they dock at Fairhaven. He says to the captain, I believe there's trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, injuries, and danger to our lives. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And so they go on. Paul gives them fair warning, and boy, was Paul correct, because it was late in the season, and now gale weather, typhoon weather starts whipping up, and they can't go against this nor'easter, the typhoon nor'easter. And now the ship has been blown out to sea. They begin to throw everything overboard, all of their cargo, and they just throw everything overboard. And as these gale force winds continue to batter the ship, they're throwing all this cargo overboard, everything that they could lay their hands on. This terrible storm rages on, unabated for many days, until at last all hope was gone. Perhaps you can relate to this. There are literal storms of life that have happened. I personally know some people who were involved in terrible wildfires in Oregon about 2 years ago, and they went up the valley and up into the mountains, and many, many, many homes were destroyed, and a lot of people became homeless. I also personally have friends who live in Florida who suffered tremendous damage to their home with a hurricane. I don't remember the name, which hurricane it was, but it was last year, last season, and tremendous damage was done. And the whole community was down without internet, without electricity, without running water for several weeks. And it was kind of like really a tough time. So whether you go through a literal storm, such as an earthquake or a hurricane or tornado or a wildfire, or it's an emotional storm, we all go through storms in life. And the question is, how do we handle it? Well, what we're going to see as we read on in tomorrow's passage, Paul has a visitation during the night, so obviously he's praying. He's praying and he's seeking the Lord. They've lost all hope. They've thrown all their cargo overboard. They haven't eaten in a long time. And in verse 21, which we're going to read tomorrow, but I'll go there a little bit today, Paul calls the crew together and he says, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the Lord stood beside me and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage. I believe God, it will be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island.'" So he's gotten some special intel. You could call it a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is where God reveals something to you, and there's no way you could have known this except that it came from God. And so he got a word of knowledge from this angel of the Lord who encouraged him to say, "Hey, you're going to survive, but you will be shipwrecked." So that's point number one then. When you go through the storms of life, turn to the Lord. Go to the secret place. Take some time to pray and seek his face and listen. and cry out to him, cling to him the way a barnacle clings to a rock at the seaside. Cling to the Lord. So another thing that we can do is we can actually pray and speak to the situation prophetically and with power and with authority and in faith. To give you an example of that, in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35, we have the disciples out on the Galilee in a boat, and they're crossing over to the other side of the Galilee. And so in verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Here's the punchline, verse 39. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they said, "Even the wind and the sea obey him." So he spoke into the storm and spoke the words, "Peace, be still." And you can do that. You can pray and ask God to change the weather. There have been many times when I live in the Northwest and it rains here a lot. And I love to go hiking. And there have been many times when I've gone in the car and it's been drizzling and rainy and overcast. And when I arrive to the parking lot where the trailhead is, I pray and I say, "Jesus, would you please hold back the rain so I can enjoy the beauty of your creation?" And immediately the rain stops. I go on my hike and an hour and a half or 2 hours later, I come back to the car. And as soon as I get back in the car, it starts to rain. So we do have that power and authority, and if we speak in faith, we can ask the Lord to bring peace to the storm, whether it's a literal storm or an emotional storm that you're going through. But the main thing to remember and to take away with you is when you go through the storms of life, cling to the rock, who is Jesus Christ. Turn to him. Cry out to him, and he will be with you in the midst of the storm. He may cause the storm to be stilled, or the storm may continue, but he will be with you in it and through it. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vish Mareka Yahya Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.